The Crash Course Podcast is brought to you in part by DerbyParts.com, Smash Master, Derby Parts, Derby Ink Magazine, Live It, Breathe It, Be It, Derby Ink, the 2014 Bachelor Cat, May 24th and 25th, Washington Courthouse, Ohio, and the Keystone National, a Bo Lockwood Motorsports production, July 19th at the Jefferson County Fairgrounds in Brookville, Pennsylvania. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marport.
Good evening. Welcome to the Crash Course. Really, really excited about this episode. Boy, we are going to be busy. It's going to be a fast-paced hour. We're going to be talking with Dalton Gullo and Butch Johnson, the winning team from Maymania. We're going to be talking with Jason Schilling, runner-up from the Drive for Five. We're going to talk to Rick Clark, the defending champion of the Bash for Cash, and then Tim Clark, the promoter of the Bash for Cash. Bash for Cash is coming up this weekend. Everybody's excited. Pretty much everybody I know, except for Ben now, is going to Bash for Cash. So that's Ben's here in studio. We've also got Brian with us. Josh is at home working on some pile of rust that he dug out of some hedgerow. So we'll have to wait and catch up with him here probably this weekend when all of us are in Ohio and Ben, unfortunately, is going to be home either with his foot up with ice on it or putting a new spindle in his mower deck. Depends on which one comes first.
Josh might be home looking for his phone. Maybe he fell off when he's rolling his lawn again.
Yeah,
or something.
Looking for phone number two for the year.
That did happen. And also, if you're not planning on traveling, there's a couple things here at home that are starting to kick off. This Saturday, Brian Sipple has the first of, I think, three shows, Canandaigua Motorsports Park. And then June 7th, Kings kick off their season. Kings Smashman Crashman Derby's John King has a show at Yates County Speedway. Don't call it Black Rock. It's Yates County Speedway now. That's June 7th, and again, right here locally Saturday at Canandaigua Motorsports Park. I'm pretty sure there's going to be a couple of Tim Ellison cars there, I'm going to guess, just judging,
looks like it.
Judging by the activity around that compound.
Yeah. Yep.
But,
Frankie Van Houten, Ellison, I see they're already going.
I think a couple members of the Doyle clan may be making a trip out there.
Wouldn't surprise me any.
Hopefully Yates County Speedway is not like a swamp like the rest of Penyan is.
Yeah, there was
kind of up on a big hill,
major but flooding, but yeah, you never know.
It's weird too because that storm hit and then it hit the lake and split.
Oh, yeah.
And I know, like, the road that your mom lives on, a guy I work with was on that.
Oh, it's flooded.
And he said he came to work, and he said there was sluice pipes and everything washed out.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, Penyan got pounded. Yeah. But, like, where I live, which isn't far from your mom's, I mean, we got rain, but there was no damage. It was strange the way Mother Nature plays sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good push.
Yep, for sure. But I know Yates County Speedway, that'll be a big draw because of the youth derby.
Yeah,
they
absolutely.
They still get to be able to use show.
Yeah, the youth show, getting that in, that'll be a big deal for them. And then I think it's that same weekend, the June 6th and 7th down there, they've got that weekend they've got the monster trucks in town as well.
Yeah, they always had the monster trucks.
They always run together,
we had that show over there that was usually a pretty good big kickoff weekend. And
the last couple of years, the show Sipple has there, the first one in Canandaigua, they've been getting pretty good numbers for that.
Yeah. I know Jake Doyle won this show
last year.
Yeah, he won the show last year in a spectator car and then turned around and won Cuba in a spectator car, too.
Yep.
Working on getting Dalton and Butch on the line. We've got some information from that event that we can tell you about, Stern Dirt. Big talk was the fact that a Cordoba won the event, but, I mean, the top five rundown, it was a Cordoba Cadillac, Chaka Chrysler, and another Cadillac. It was kind of interesting to see the way that all shook out.
Yeah, if you could build them rules out there, you can build a nasty pinch framer.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they are hard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I see some video from out there, and on one shot I saw the rear end get tore out of a car. I know a lot of derbies never seen that happen. Then I see the truck get flipped all the way over a Jersey barrier and parked on top of. So they don't play.
Yeah, they hit. Yeah. They definitely hit. We've got both members of the winning team, two man teams out there. We've got Dalton Gullo and Butch Johnson. Butch was the last car running. Guys, congratulations on your win out there.
Thank you.
No problem. Appreciate you taking some time out and hanging out with us. Dalton was at soccer practice when I called this morning. They're getting ready to go play through the course of the state championship, where they may end up playing at Real Salt Lake Stadium, which is pretty cool. So he certainly got his hands full getting cars built to go run at May Mania and then getting the soccer team in line. Tell us a little bit about that May Mania show. I mean, you guys certainly did have your hands full, and you came out on top.
I don't know, but you want to go first?
I don't care.
Well, Butch, I mean, Butch, you were the last car running. Tell us a little bit about what it looked like from your perspective.
It was just fun. It was a riot. Lots of good cars. Lots of awesome guys showed up to drive. Just a way good show. I mean, we definitely had our hands full. I drove my butt off to get where we got, and it was just fun. Just had a ball.
Butch Johnson and Dalton Gullo won overall. Tim Denson, Colby Peterson were second. Chris Johnston and Dale Schaefer from up in Montana took home third. Scott Mannering and Warren Funk were fourth place. And Butch Johnson last car running overall, also took home a $1,000 bonus for Mad Dog, which gave his team a cumulative total of $7,000 coming home. So not a bad payday at all.
Nice.
That's not bad for Dave's Devlin.
Nope. No.
Butch winning first place and Mad Dog actually got him another out on top of that, so he walked home with five.
That is correct.
And also got some parts coming from Derby This, Overkill, and Big Rock Products, I believe, also sponsored the double down to get the Mad Dog and win the main.
Yeah,
the
Double Down Mad Dog Award was $1,000 plus gift certificates from Overkill, DerbyParts.com, and Big Rock Products. And that goes to whoever wins first place and Mad Dog, and Butch was able to do that. And Dalton, you had to go out and drive at that show. Having a couple broken ball joints, you still drove down being fifth overall. Made it into the top five, and then you're also part of the winning team.
Yeah, it was really cool to be the last team running. It really had us an advantage because we had the two to help us out still. Everybody else was a single car left by the time I went out, but very beginning of the show, one of those Overkill caddies hit me in the front, busted the ball joint, so I drove the whole main with my right ball joint shattered, and then I think I broke a tie rod in the left side too. But congrats to Butch because he outran everybody and drove his ass off.
I mean, how hard were the cars that you guys were seeing out there? Just looking at some of the pictures and some of the footage, we've got the truck that got flipped out of the park. One guy had one of those enormous rear ends ripped clean out from underneath his car. How hard was the stuff that you were running into out there?
They were hard. I mean, I don't think there was a soft car there.
It didn't look like there was many soft places to land, that was for sure.
No,
I felt that ours were at least the softest. I mean, people kept rolling in, and you look at them and go, oh, I'm underbuilt for this show.
Now, why do you say that you felt that yours were the softest?
Just because I always think that when I show up to a show and look at other cars.
I see.
What, Butch, did you run a Mopar motor also, or did that have a Chevy in it?
No, I'm Mopar all the way.
That's what I like to hear. Good to hear, buddy.
Big block 400.
Wow. Awesome.
Bolton, are you listening?
Nice. That's great to hear. I know a lot of guys still run the Mopars, but they pollute them and put that GM crap in there. It's good to hear a guy that runs Mopar all the way, man. That makes that win all the more special.
Yeah, it makes it that much sweeter.
Mini cars, Austin Moore and Ted Mosman took the win there. Second place, Levi Turner and Kevin Turner, Monty Dobson and Steve Singleton third. In the mini cars, Mad Dog went to Monty Dobson. The grudge match winners, TJ McPhee and Derek Shelley, won that. DJ Grange and Bronson Twitchell were second. Darren Chorney earned the Mad Dog Award. In the trucks, Dustin Deschamps and Rory Greer won overall. LJ Reese and Justin Pace were second. Garrett Powell and Chris Hader were third. Mad Dog went to Chris Hader, so there's some pretty crazy footage out there, too, of those trucks, man. When that one got knocked over the wall, it was something.
Yeah, that was that's the thing, too.
When you see him get flipped, it's one thing, but he literally, like Chris said, got flipped out of the park. I mean, when you get flipped up over and upside down on the opposite side of the blocks, I mean, that's definitely a hard hit.
That arena that you guys were in, it's the Golden Spike Arena, correct?
Yes.
Golden, and,
that's
Weaver County Fairgrounds.
Yeah, that arena. I mean, just looking at the pictures and everything, it's just it, it looks like it's pretty much a demolition derby football stadium.
Well, yeah. I mean, it looks like the Goodyear blimp should be flying over top. You know?
And that's the thing. Is the guy that did the flipping in that truck, they showed him when he started. And he was probably three quarters of the place away. And he's just kept gaining speed and gaining speed and gaining speed. And then I'm like, oh, God, this is going to hurt right out of the ballpark. I've seen some cool stuff, but one of the derby checklists has got to get out there.
How much work?
I had cameras set up all the way around the arena, and I had four cameras in the arena. I got two that got that perfect.
Yeah.
That we'll be putting up a highlight video here shortly.
Sweet. Nice.
Now, Dalton, do you sell videos from the Stern Dirt shows, or do you just put up the videos that are on the website?
I don't. I actually work for Weber State's video program.
Okay.
It's called Studio 76. We have a YouTube channel that we post most of this stuff to, and then on my personal channel, I post a lot of things to as well.
All right, I was just, because I've been on Stern Dirts, and I've seen some of the stuff that you've put up on there, and I mean, it's really cool. I just didn't know if there was some place where somebody could order if they wanted to buy a copy of, you know, of the show and watch it, and just figured we'd try to get your name out there.
I'm not that advanced yet, but Broadhead, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Justin said in a couple weeks he'd probably have his edited. He was telling me this morning.
That's cool.
Nice.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah, that's definitely action packed deal.
How much work did you guys have to do after the heat to get ready for that feature? I mean, you knew at that point mostly what you were up against. I mean, how much work did you have to do to get ready for that?
Down the motors.
Yeah,
I pounded up a quarter panel.
That was the easiest one. I swapped the battery. Torched the frame a little bit on the back just so it kept going up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, other than that, just kind of had to cool down the motor.
It's amazing how little work you had to do for being underbuilt, you thought, huh? That's kind of like my favorite saying. If I go somewhere, it's like, man, I'm underbuilt. I'm going to get junked.
Hey, do either one of you guys know who got a hold of TJ's Ford wagon? I think it was Ford wagon. And was that one shot that bent it up like that, or did he get hit repeatedly?
No. TJ kept doing arena shots with his trunk in the Grudge.
Oh, okay. Yep.
It was starting to separate and lift and lift. And then in the main, one of the boys from Canada in the brown cars, I can't remember what his name was, but he was the one to finally trunk shot him to get that to go straight up.
Yeah, because that was...
And indeed it did.
Yes, it did. Because, I mean, that was a nasty-looking car to be getting, you know, and I mean... Obviously, everything's going to get bent sooner or later. But then to see the after pictures of that, I didn't know if somebody just, you know, had arena shot him and did that, or if he had been abusing it all night.
Yeah, he had been abusing it, but he took a really good shot from one of the Canada boys.
Mm. Nice. So, since all you had to do was cool your motors down, did you guys actually get to go back to near the track and watch some of the other action that was out there?
I watched part of Heat 2 and most of Heat 3, but I missed the best one, it sounds like. I missed the truck. Really, well, I could have seen that roll over.
When you were out there and you're...
In there for the checks, but...
when you guys were out there and you're running through the feature event and it's clicking down little by little, I mean, going out there, who were you the most worried about? And once it got down to the final five or six, did you at any point feel comfortable?
I think the overkill guys were the ones I was kind of watching in the main event because I watched them drive and they drove pretty hard, and then I seen it kind of coming down to us and the Montana boys, and I knew it was getting close to where it was going to be on.
Now, I've watched, obviously, you know, I watched the show when it was on TV, and I've seen some video. It kind of seems like everybody drives hard from the word go out there. I mean, is that kind of the way it is? Or, I mean, do you go out and try to take it easy and get pushed into the using the loud pedal a little more? Or, I mean, is it just, you know, all out right from the word go?
I think Utah's got its reputation for its hard hitting. I mean, we pack 10 to 15 cars in an arena as big as you guys out there, and I mean, not as many cars allows for the bigger hits.
Yeah.
But you'll hear a lot of people go, I'm going to try and drive smarter this time, but as soon as you get in there and the adrenaline hits, it's crazy.
Well, the other thing seems that if you want to drive smart out there, you can't afford to because everybody around you is just flying by.
You're gonna eat somebody's freaking bumper real quick. You go out there and try to drive conservative.
A lot of people won't drive the wagons anymore because wagons are the rear end cars, but you don't have time to stop or go to an end to pick your shots with the wagons.
Unless you're Gumby.
Bad part about that is his front ends are usually trashed before the back end.
It's a lot easier to drive forward than it is backwards.
Yes, it is.
See, you guys got to get the Imperials outlawed out there, because if you're going to drive forward, or I mean allowed.
Unallowed.
If you're going to drive forward, you might as well have the best to drive forward with. I mean, that just makes for a better show.
I don't know if there's too many of them left out here. I think everybody that had lots of Imperials all got rid of them.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
You're on suicides, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was one of them that ran in our heat out of Wyoming, I believe.
Yeah.
They get a hold of him pretty quick, did they?
I think Schaefer took out his axle pretty quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I got a pretty good shot to his ball joint, too.
Yeah. Now, on a rules aspect of it, I mean, what are you allowed at that show? I mean, is it pretty much weld from firewall forward, or have they toned that back?
Well, this year we went A-arms forward with the welding.
Okay.
And then we have another 32 pages of rules to go through.
Man, now, are you allowed, like, the, what was it, 30-inch plate or whatever?
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. Are you allowed any, you know, instead of shocks, can you run plates? I mean, how similar, like to UD rules, how similar are your rules to theirs?
What?
I mean, they really aren't, though, are they?
I've read UD's rules.
I haven't either, so.
Well, I mean, like.
We still have to have, we can't change our shocks. We can't go solid shocks.
Okay.
As far as welding A-arms forward, it's top frame seam only.
Okay.
One pass, quarter inch wide is how it's wrote.
Right.
No core support welding, you know. We can run our threaded rod all the way through the front body mount.
Mm-hmm.
We can actually add one extra body mount to our cars, anywhere firewall back that we prefer.
Right.
So, basically what I've read, there are some differences. We're not allowed any kickers. Like, I know some rules, they'll let you run a kicker off your dash bar to behind your A-arm.
Right.
We can't do any of that. We can do motor tie-downs if we're not running engine cradles, and they have to be, I think it's within the A-arm footprint or 3 inches in front of it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there are some differences, but I think there's some similarities too.
Right, right.
Sure lets you drive hard, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, whatever the build is, it's done right because they drive them.
Well, guys, I hate to cut everything short, but it was such a busy weekend. We're trying to give everybody a little bit of time. I appreciate you guys, coming on and talking with us from way out there in Utah. And once again, congratulations on the win. And Dalton, man, keep up the work with that soccer team.
Awesome, thank you, guys.
Hey, we'll talk.
Have a good one.
We'll talk soon. Thanks. Bye. Bye now.
Yeah, going to Utah for a show has got to be on the Derby bucket list.
Ah, the bucket list. You guys on these podcasts with your bucket list. John on the 31st lap. Every other word out of his mouth is something about something he's going to try and check off of his bucket list.
I just want to try to get to Ohio.
Just poor Ben.
I have to take back pop cans or something like that.
Blood, man. I think you get like 50 cents a pint or $50 a pint for blood.
It's not bad. I mean,
listen, we'll strap your welder to the top of Chris's van. You can weld service out there, because I'm sure there's going to be a lot of guys needing stuff welded back on.
Yeah, that's true.
I think we're going to call it a crossover now. Josh doesn't like calling it a minivan.
Oh, well, Josh isn't riding with us. He's, you know, too good.
It's a family SUV.
Family truckster.
Now we've got, continuing the parade of talent through the course of the night, this is Jason Schilling, second place from Drive for Five, and built both the first and second place cars. And we were trying to get hold of his brother, and Travis said, I am not much of a talker, you go do it. So
that sounds familiar.
I figured that's something that Ben could relate to.
I can relate to that, yeah.
But congratulations. I mean, that's a real successful weekend for you guys out there at a pretty major show.
Yeah, it certainly was. Thanks a lot for having me on here. Travis must have known about you guys' reputation, so he just threw me to the wolves, I guess.
No reputations. We're really nice guys.
No. I mean, it's not a big thing at all. I mean, I'm impressed that, you know, what goes through your mind, Jason, when you've got to go nose to nose with the car that you've built? You know, you got to take out your brother and the car that you built in order to come away with a win or settle for second place.
Oh boy, I'm just kind of thinking about, okay, what's going to get wrecked right here?
You cringe every time you back up. Yeah. At least you know where to hit him.
Yeah, it was definitely a good feeling. You know, when it comes down to that, we've had it come down to Travis and I, you know, several times in the past, and it's always something different. You know, sometimes it's head-to-head, sometimes it's back-to-back. I guess there's a variety of different ways we've finished it, but it was just the timing was right, and that's just the way it ended up happening this time.
So what ended up going down? What failed on your car that allowed him to take the win?
Actually, about... Let's see, the feature was, I'm thinking, an hour and 10 minutes-ish. About 8 to 10 minutes into the feature, I got my radiator poked. And so I was going, so I had a hole in the radiator, it was spitting out water. So I think it was like an hour and 2 minutes-ish that I was, running on borrowed time, I guess. Mm-hmm. So it just got to the point where it got so hot at the end that it just, it didn't start. Right. So I guess, you know, just for me to get down to that point... was definitely an accomplishment, and I have to thank my engine builder Scott Gropp for building this two awesome engines. You know, we both had Gropp engines in our car, top two, I think. Zach Johnson had one in his car also, so hats off to him and a big thanks to him, because without him it just wouldn't happen.
Reported results was Travis and Jason taking 1-2, Chris Collins, Luke Johnson we heard about earlier with his win at Razorback, Zach Johnson, and then Shea Walden running down your top finishers there. You had some serious competition out there too. I mean, that list there of those drivers, they're no slouches.
Oh God, yes. The amount of feature wins of the drivers at this show was impressive. You just think about who was there. You had Scott Zizelman from Ohio, Shea Walden and Dookie from North Dakota, Jack Pribble, like you said, Luke Zach and Troy Johnson, Nick Newman, Chris Collins, Kurt Zacharias, Chucky, where do you stop?
Yeah,
yeah,
it was crazy.
You got a long list of talent out there, that was for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this show was no slouch. It was no easy win at all. It's definitely a legitimate big show.
What kind of car did you build for you and your brother?
I built a 74 Electra four-door for myself, and Travis was in a 76 Chevy wagon.
I see. Are you guys GM family, or do you kind of build and run anything?
We've only run GMs until the last maybe 5 years. We've been running the Crown Vics.
Yep.
But never been a Chrysler freak. It's always been GM. So we've built tons and tons of them over the years. So it's helped that you're able to learn from your past mistakes and learn what needs to be done to make the car stronger. So the cars were just really, really hard. We had some awesome cars.
I saw some pictures, and there was definitely some junk made out there.
Yeah,
there was definitely hitting. I mean, for being a feature that long, I mean, that's just a testament to builders. I mean, to drive as hard as you guys are driving. Just,
let alone that, like he said, he touched on. I mean, the engine builders and it's just Gropp. I mean, I can personally say myself, firsthand, it's them Gropp motors run, they like not having any water for some reason.
Yeah, a little bit of homework done there. They don't seem to mind that water.
Exactly. That's so true. You know, a handful of years ago when P&P had their border wars, mm-hmm. the very first border war they had, I was kind of in the same situation, running an Electra. X amount of time into the feature, I lose my radiator, just kept on going right down to the end, and I won that one, and, coincidentally, I beat Rick Harrington, which was the promoter, the driver five.
Yep.
Nice.
No, you can't beat the R&D, the hours and hours and years of R&D that he's put in on his stuff.
That's for sure.
Certainly. Yeah, absolutely. You know, got a lot of these other engine builders that are making, you know, 7,500 RPMs, but, you know, how does it run when it's, you know, 45 minutes without water?
Yeah. I've had that talk with guys before. I mean, really, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't take a lot to make a motor scream. I mean, that's not all that impressive to turn a lot of RPMs, but I mean, you know.
It is after 45 minutes with no water.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the sound the same when you start it up as it does, you know, 50 minutes or an hour later with no water. I mean, that's, you know, that's where the money is. There's definitely some,
yeah.
You know, you can't argue with the results that those motors get.
Sometimes, Jason, I get a little paranoid. So what is it that your brother actually told him, just between us? What did your brother tell you about us?
Yeah, Chris is paranoid now.
Probably save that for after the podcast.
Oh, no.
That's cool.
Oh, good. Wonderful.
As long as it was all something bad about Josh Decker, then that's all right. Anything negative about Josh Decker is true.
Majority of it was him.
All right, yeah, that's okay. Cool. Anything negative about Josh Decker is true and should be told to all your Derby friends.
That's
miss you, Josh. Wish you were here, buddy.
where are you guys planning on going next?
You know what? In all honesty, I don't have any plans right now. You know, I've been out in the shop for just ridiculous hours lately. You know, I probably got, I don't know, 120, 140 hours in each car. It's been late nights every night. Mm-hmm. It got to the point where last week I come into the house after working on the shop till, you know, 11 o'clock at night, and there was this lady in the house, and she said that she was my wife. I didn't even recognize her.
At least you didn't get an email or a text message.
Your phone goes off with a Facebook alert.
Yeah. You got a friend request.
Yeah, we're just going to kind of chill here for a while and see what happens. But, yeah, right now I'm just really burned out.
Yeah.
You at least could maybe get out and see some, not necessarily take a car, just go see some.
What was that part?
You going to go see some? Do you have any travel plans to go be a spectator? Just watch it? Not necessarily bring your car. Just go watch it. Take it in.
Oh, I got you. Definitely. I was hoping to get to the Bash for Cash. The work schedule just isn't working out for me at all lately. You know, we had gone out to run the Bash for Cash, you know, a few years ago, and I was hoping to get back there, but work just gets in the way, unfortunately.
You sound like maybe you got a touch of the flu coming on or something.
Yeah, you know, I have been losing my voice. I think I've been doing a lot of talking over the course of the weekend, so that's definitely taking its toll on me.
I was thinking more along the lines of, so something like that kicked in and you had to bang and tick to work, you could still make it to Ohio.
I guess we shouldn't rule anything out.
Crash course, we bring people together.
That's right. We're going to be out there. I mean, we're looking forward to it. We got Rick Clark coming up here in just a little bit, and then we'll talk to Tim Clark here at the bottom half of the show. I mean, do you have any sponsors or anybody that helps get your cars to the track?
You know, obviously Grop Automotive has done, you know, a lot of stuff for us. My brother, Travis, actually owns a salvage yard, Schilling Auto Salvage, here in Wisconsin, and he supplies, you know, the majority of everything that we have, you know, lately, you know, cars, welding wire, gas, you know, just, you know, you got an account at the parts store, just charge it. So
yeah,
it's
that's the big stuff.
That comes in handy.
Really easy for me to, you know, to buy things like that. You know, I'm very thankful for the stuff that he's done. So that's, it's kind of awesome. Like, he's been the financial backing lately. I've been doing all the hours, so kind of wonder if maybe we should just switch spot at this point.
Yeah.
Sleep a little bit more at night.
There you go.
Wouldn't be so bad, I guess, huh?
yeah, certainly.
Well, you know, we appreciate you taking some time out and talking with us about that. You know, it sounds like you guys really, you know, you had your work cut out for you out there, but you came out on top, and we can't say congratulations enough. That was a stacked field that you guys had to get through.
Yeah, that was tough.
Yep. Thank you very much for having me. It was awesome. If there's ever anything you guys want to talk about in the future, give me a jingle.
What I want to do is talk to you at Bash for Cash, so if you can make that happen, that'd be great.
Come interview you in person there.
Yeah, that'd be good. We haven't really made a lot of friends up in that neck of the woods, so we need to expand our fan base.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Well, you know, again, you know, with all your travels this summer, travel safe, and I'm certainly looking forward to talking to you again here.
You bet. Take care, guys.
Right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
And again, there goes Jason Schilling, runner-up at the Drive for Five. We are running him through fast. I'm watching the clock, trying to monitor everything.
Was it me, or he can talk like super fast.
Oh yeah, and, he's a talker.
Yeah, and he's a
talker.
He's a real well spoken too. I mean, the thing is, that I was just rapid fire questions coming through. His brother owns a junkyard. Oh, we got questions.
That's I'm like, there you go.
That comes in handy. You
know? That's
Hey, who else we know?
I wanted to ask him if he felt underbuilt.
Yeah.
That's gonna be a good.
You know somebody else that owns a scrapyard that's into derby. What's that guy's name? Hansen. That's right.
I thought you were talking about Walt.
Whitaker's.
No. Yeah, Whitaker's also.
Whitaker's,
there's a few
Hansen.
Of them.
There's kind of a kind of like Mopar Express.
Yeah, they do okay.
Them guys. There's scrapyard. There's a lot of scrapyards involved.
Yeah, there was Durbin.
We talked a little bit about how maybe we're we'll have to take Jason's tag down here real quick. But one thing that we do have to make mention of, we talked about making more friends and bringing people together. We're going to do that at the middle of August when we go to the Wadena Team Show. We just got the got word that the logo has been approved, so that's pretty cool. We're looking forward to that, and that's right in where all those names that that Jason mentioned. I really got my fingers crossed. A lot of those guys put together team cars
and
come out to that show, Wadena, at the Wadena County Fairgrounds, August 16th. Jump on Wadena County Fairgrounds and check that out. The Grand Slam is the name of the show. If you just Google search Grand Slam Wadena, you can find stuff. There's also information out there on We Crash about those guys. Darren Agard was the one that's been really spearheading that, and they've got they got some cool stuff coming. The logo looks pretty good, and they said that they're using that in their newspaper ad. So they got a whole area that they've mapped out their marketing program. They got their stuff together, and they're ready to put on a good show.
Cool.
And we've got a whole bunch of other folks that we want to tell you about. And for the last time, you'll be seeing the Bash for Cash ad because it's this weekend. I'm so excited. I can't wait to get there. Here it is. Let them know you heard about them.
The rules are just right. Set aside July 19th for the reinvented Keystone Nationals. Again, this summer, Bo Lockwood will host the Keystone Nationals at the Jefferson County Fairgrounds in Brookville, Pennsylvania. A revamped rulebook will help welcome an all-star field as a limited well division takes center stage and a feature paying $5,000 to win. Pre-entries for the stock division are already full. For more details, join the Keystone Nationals community online at www.facebook.com/Keystone Nationals. Once again, the Keystone Nationals, July 19th, 2014, at the Jefferson County Fairgrounds, Brookville, Pennsylvania. What better way to spend Memorial Day than seeing a bunch of cars being smashed? Spend the holiday with Smash and Demolition Derbies as they again host the Bash for Cash at the Fayette County Fairgrounds in Washington Courthouse, Ohio. Planned for May 24th and 25th, the card is headlined by the co-main event, the 11,000 to win DerbyParts.com 80s newer class, and the DerbyTees.com 10,000 to win Turn Back the Clock division. Other classes include full-size trucks, U-Compact, street stocks, and the 80s newer wire-up division. Gates open daily at 10 a.m. with action to follow at 4. For more information and details, visit the online home of Bash for Cash at www.smashitderby.com.
Total Destruction Demo Productions is primed for an explosive 2014. Based out of Tremensburg, Steve Mann, Shockey, and Lead Inspector Ben Hoff have a busy summer with 4 epic events over 7 nights scheduled all over New York State. The schedule starts with the Spring Fling in Morris, New York, June 14th. Total Destruction then hosts 2 nights of carnage at the Ontario County Fair in Canandaigua, New York, July 22nd and 26th. Then the grueling double down follows with the Otsego County Fair in Morris planned for July 31st and August 3rd, and the Franklin County Fair in Malone set for August 2nd and 4th. For more details, visit www.totaldestructiondemo.com or call 607-769-6820.
O'Reilly Auto Parts proudly presents the Plymouth County Fair, July 26th, Lamar's, Iowa. Promoter Brandon Tyson has teamed with Ultimate Derby to bring a national level to one of the most aggressive and largest county fairs in the Midwest. 3,000 to win modified, 1,500 to win stocks, and 1,000 to win compacts. Passengers are welcome if you dare to ride along. The event is streamed free to the public online with 10,000 people. All courtesy of O'Reilly Auto Parts, the Plymouth County Fair, July 26th, Lamar's, Iowa. Online at www.plymouthcoderby.com. That's www.plymouthcoderby.com. The Seneca County Fair will be held Thursday, July 17th and Saturday, July 19th in Waterloo, New York. The two-day format includes something for everyone with a taste for elimination motorsports. Thursday's card is headlined by the Junk Run, allowing S10 Blazers, Rangers, minivans, Jeeps, and Ford Explorers. The card will include qualifying, advancing full-size competitors to Saturday's full-size championship, and then it will kick off with the four-cylinder figure-eight races. Championship night is July 19th. A full menu of qualifying heats for full-size cars will set the field. Then the four-cylinder one-and-done will crown the 2014 small car champion.
The night concludes with a full-size championship action, with winners representing Seneca County at the New York State Fair Championship Labor Day weekend in Syracuse, New York. That's the Seneca County Fair, July 17th and 19th. To learn more, visit the fair online at www.senecacountyfairny.com.
And we're back. We've got Rick Clark, defending champion of the Bash for Cash, on the line. Rick, can you hear us okay?
Yeah, I can hear you guys.
Great. Thanks for taking some time out tonight and joining us here on the program. Tell us a little bit about what it was like to walk away last year with the win at Bash for Cash.
It was an amazing feeling. About a week after I got home, I was just sitting there thinking, I still can't think it's true. Like, yeah, what an awesome win, and those guys down there do a great job.
And are we going to see you this weekend?
Yeah, we'll be there.
So
I'm just taking a little break here and about a half a day's work on the car, and we'll be ready to go, get everything loaded up, and we'll be heading down there probably on Thursday sometime.
Now, would you say pulling in this year as a defending champion? I mean, does it add to the confidence pulling in, or do you feel a little more pressure pulling in as a defending champion?
Oh, it'll definitely be a lot more pressure. I'm sure everybody will be looking for me this year. we'll just play the game and see how it goes.
Yeah, you definitely moved to the top of the hit list. There's no doubt about that.
That's all right. I think it's probably worth it to take the big trophy and the big check home at the end of the night.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Oh yeah. It was a lot of fun. It's a long weekend, but it's worth it at the end if you win. But you don't always win, so we'll go down and give her another shot and see how we do.
I mean, how important was that win? I mean, how did that change things for you in terms of walking away from the Bash for Cash with that check?
I've won a lot of big derbies here in Ontario and Canada. But yeah, that one's right on top. That's like the Daytona 500 of derbies right there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was huge for me.
I thought you had a question.
No,
Ben.
I just brain just kicked in.
Yeah,
Rick, what part of Canada are you from?
Ontario, Canada. Little town near Lindsay, Ontario. About 20,000 population.
Mm-hmm. And then you run R&R demo parts up there, right?
Yeah, we were at a little derby yesterday down in Western Ontario, selling some parts, and we're a distributor for Derby Tees as well. So, yeah, we went down there yesterday, about 60 cars, a little derby down there. It was a fun day.
Cool.
And Billy Bash is the big one up in Canada, right?
Billy Bash, yeah, it used to be big. They haven't probably had it in about 3 or 4 years. A company called Thrill Show Productions, they do that one. But they probably have 50 derbies in the summer down there and all through parts of Ontario.
Wow. It's busy.
Yeah. Very busy.
What car up there now is seems like the most dominant car, the most, I would say, the most wanted, you know, the most wanted car everybody wants to run. I mean, are you looking at like the
what's the coveted car up there at this point?
98 to 02 VIX, 03 and newer VIX. Can you still run 03 and newer VIX up there?
Yeah, Crown VIX is probably about 10 years ago they changed our rules where we had to run 80 and newer cars.
Right.
So yeah, 98 to 02s, they're pretty rusty here now. So a lot of the guys are running the 03s because, you know, there's lots of them around and they're not as rusty as the older ones.
No,
some of the guys, they go down the southern states and get the rust-free ones. So
yeah, right.
Yeah. What, but for the most part, Crown Vics are dominating up here.
What's rust-free up there? I mean, what's
rust-free?
Does rust-free mean different things in different parts of the country? Are the southern states also looking like Arizona and Texas and South Carolina and cars like that? Are they going that far south from Ontario?
Yeah, a lot of the guys are, not all the guys, but any of the big players, they go to Carolinas, Texas, Arizona, wherever they can get a nice, black, clean-looking frame car. Some guys, the guy even bring frames up to sell them here because you can come across a good, pretty good body up here. So guys are putting a good southern clean frame under them and just running them like that.
Rick, where did you have to go to pick up your Bash car?
Bash car. It probably came from North Carolina.
Mm. Wow. Nice. Man.
Now are they restricting you on what you can do on the old threes up there, or can you cradle swap them, or you got to run the stock cradles? Or
Yeah, we can run cradle slots up here. They're just bringing in new rules up here now. I haven't heard the total details, but they're going a weight class up here for the, we call them pro mods, but they're not as crazy as your pro mods down there in the States. like some of those derbies at Kentucky there, that one you guys were at, that was the pro mods, that was pretty, we call that an outlaw car.
Right.
But they're implementing the rules around 5,000 pounds, so it should allow to do quite a bit to the car.
Right.
On the topic of pro mods, the pro mods were in action in Ornala, Iowa with Ultimate Derby. Nathan Clausen took the win. Jared Clausen, Travis McBride going second and third. Adam Reese, Zach Staver. Adam Reese picking up a win as well. Zach Staver and Stacey Ravitch coming home second and third. Jesse Ravitch, Matt Schilling, Dylan Lane finishing out the top six. Full-size stock division. Justin Ferrix won that over Chris Ferrick. Dylan Kunkel was third. I mean, you talked about those pro mods. It seems like there's so much of that pro mod influence now that is trickling into the full size division. That's leading toward that heavy build, or even if you want to go that next step further, you can go to the extreme build. I mean, how do you feel in terms of where that falls? I mean, you come at it from a little bit of a different perspective, and it might take a little bit more for you to get one of those black frame cars that are so coveted to go and compete at those extreme level shows. What's some of your take on where Demolition Derby has gone and what it looks like from your vantage point in Ontario?
In Ontario, our pro mod class is kind of dwindling off. It takes, as you guys know, it takes a lot of money to build these cars. And the average little guy starting out, 19, 20-year-old kid, he can't afford that. So the mini cars are big. We call them minis, four-cylinder cars. They're big up here. Now they're getting into... as we call them, straight stock, but it's bone stock wire cars.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of fairly big here, but as you guys know, the price of scrap and everything is putting a damper on the average person to get into derbying. But mini cars are big here, and it's not as the pro mods ain't as big here as in the States, for sure. Because you guys have more states, more population, more people to draw from.
Now, Rick, do you come down here and run more than just a bash, or is this the only show you come down to run in the States?
He was the Spring X.
Oh, okay.
Last year I ran a few for Todd Sorensen in Michigan, one, two, or three over there.
Cool.
I've been to Mayhem way back when Charlie ran it mm-hmm. in 2001, 2002 maybe. Been to Pontiac Silver Dome back in 98. Did some of the Dent Derbies.
Yep.
Yeah, I've did a few down there, but a lot of the career was up here in Ontario.
That's cool. We actually ran into a couple of guys from Canada once that came down to demo at Fulton.
That was
I can't think of their names for the life of me.
And they were from
Toronto.
Montreal.
No, Toronto.
Montreal, because they were going across the Thousand Islands Bridge when the one year we had the ice storm. Mm-hmm. They were going across the Thousand Islands Bridge with like eight Chevy Impalas, and the one guy actually got killed, the younger guy.
Johnny Lips,
they called him. He actually got in a car accident with a roundback wagon and killed.
Markle or something was the
and
other guy's
name?
Tony Markle?
I don't remember, but he always ran Imperials.
Markle.
And
yep. Markle,
yeah. Yep, and they had...
well, or used to, yeah.
Wow.
What was it, George Reed Palmer, Motors?
Lips died there.
Yes, yeah. Johnny Lips, yep. Super,
those guys all the time.
Super cool guys, man. We met them. They come down and ran a show and got talking to them. And
well, Johnny came in first with the Impala, and we went over and talked to him. And, I mean, his car was built very nicely. He's like, yeah, my buddy's coming. And I said, well, what's he bringing? He wouldn't really say.
Wouldn't say.
And then all of a sudden, this Imperial pulls in, and we're like, ooh, this is.
Yeah, we figured, yeah, we were counting our money. And I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. This guy's got to come in last minute with an Imperial. And it actually came down to him and I.
Yep.
And he goes, oh, so you like Mopars, huh? I'm like, yeah, I like Mopars. And that's back when they must have met Dougie and Danny Snyder.
Yep, because they ran
the Silver Dome and all that. And it's a small world. I mean, that's super cool. I mean, it's them guys were cool.
Yeah,
they're very nice guys. Very nice guys. And
I think Tom Rand's Silver Dome there back in 99,
yep.
98, or whenever they had
yep.
it.
Yep.
And Derby, a bunch of us went down there. About six or eight of us went down.
Yep.
That's cool.
Yeah, we used to be able to run Imperials here, I don't know, probably 15 years ago. They were banned for a long time, and then they brought them back mm-hmm. for about a year or two, and I got a couple and pretty much cleaned everybody out.
That's good to hear.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Can round back wagons in about two or three hits, so.
Yep.
Yeah, they all got uptight, and they banned them again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That tends to do that when you junk somebody's, you know, $15,000 to $2,000 shell in about two shots.
Do you ever feel underbuilt at your shows?
Do I ever feel underbuilt?
Yeah.
Last summer I ran a wire car that my buddy had left over. And, yeah, I went out and had a lot of fun with that thing. Worked on it for about 4 hours, fixing it up and took it out and... Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It's a lot easier when the car bends, not the driver.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
You ain't kidding.
Yeah, you could move the next day a little bit better.
You ain't kidding.
Yep.
That's cool.
I mean, are we gonna have the chance to catch up with you at all out in Ohio? I mean, we're everybody's really geared towards that now, looking forward to the Bash for Cash. I mean, are we gonna be able to catch up with you? Are you gonna have your hands full working on cars?
Oh, I always got time to talk to you guys. probably hanging out in the campground, usually where our car is. Yeah, that's a great deal down there. Tim and Russ do a good job. Mm-hmm. Great atmosphere, great weekend. Everybody has a lot of fun. My boy here, we're getting ready to take the power wheels for him.
Nice.
Nice.
We'll be busy.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Around the talk, for sure.
How many hour tow is that for you from home to courthouse?
It's probably about an eight, 9 hour drive, yeah.
That's not too bad.
No, it's not bad.
Any breakdowns or flat tires or anything.
Well, what are you doing?
you better knock out some wood there.
That's cool.
Absolutely not. The exhaust fell off my motorhome, so we had to wire it up. But anyways, yeah, it's a fun weekend. Been looking forward to it.
Cool. Awesome.
Very cool. Well,
we certainly wish you the best, and we pass on good luck for that your Power Wheels driver there.
Absolutely.
And we're looking forward to seeing you again. You know, it was good talking with you down in Topeka, and We're all looking forward to just, I mean, so many people that are going to be there that we're looking forward to seeing. And you know, Rick.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of nice people I've met down in the States, Derby people. They're all good people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
They're
all going to be in Washington Courthouse.
What we all love to do, that's for sure.
Yep.
Very good. Well, Rick, I appreciate you taking some time out and, you know, stop by, say hi. If you get free, we'll try and look you up in Washington Courthouse and travel safe.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I'd like to give a shout-out to my buddies in Ohio, Scott Freebie, and old Joker down there in North Carolina.
The Joker.
last time I heard anything.
Hey, guys.
Have a good one, Rick.
What were you going to say? I thought you had a question.
No, I just know.
Hey, thanks, Rick. We'll see you soon.
Yeah.
Bye now.
You know, I was just going to say, I sent a message to Joker.
I apologize to Rick. I didn't mean for that to end so awkwardly. Everybody keeps just walking on each other.
I said something to Joker the other day about getting stuff done.
No, not you. I would like to congratulate you too, Ben. You haven't cursed but twice this episode.
It's not over, but yeah.
Curse count.
You got to talk to Tim yet, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to start getting fired up. I'm kind of laid back because I'm kind of half bummed out. But
go ahead, Brian.
Where do you want me to go?
I thought you were trying to say something. No. I didn't want to break up the theme of walking on each other, so I decided to interrupt you.
No, that's fine. We're good. And then he mutes me.
Yeah.
No, that was me that got muted, buddy. That was.
See, now you can.
But now you can.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, that was me. Because I'm on the phone. Me. You don't.
Hey, Dennis, Chris. Hey, can I put you in?
May not be perfect, but it's always fun.
I didn't see you offering to dial the phone, Brian.
Throw it to me. I'll dial whatever you want, buddy. Want me to dial my phone? Who do you want to talk to?
No, we got this is it. Our sprint has reached its final relay. We got Tim
Clark.
We're
at the crescendo.
We are at
the what?
At
crescendo.
Crescendo.
Oh,
the
peak.
Yes, the peak. We'll go with that. Tim, you know, how's your week been?
My week's been busy.
I believe it. We got Tim Clark from Smash It, promoter of Bash for Cash, coming on, and we're going to finish up the show with a little bit of conversation with Tim before we actually get down there to the Bash for Cash in Washington Courthouse. We just talked with Rick Clark, the defending champion. I mean, how are things going? He's looking forward to coming. Just about everybody that we talk to is counting down the days till they get the chance to storm Washington Courthouse.
Yeah,
Yeah, I think this weekend, I mean, the weather's going to be great. It's going to be about 75 down here.
Nice.
You know, no rain. I think it's going to be one heck of a weekend, that's for sure.
Have you got any more last-minute entries that have come across the table? I mean, last time we talked, we were about 350.
Yeah, I got some more entries. Pretty much all the classes are full. I've had a couple people drop out, you know, call and say, hey, I ain't going to get my car done. But I would say there's still going to be about 350 cars and trucks down there.
Sweet.
That's awesome.
And just for everybody that's trying to keep track of it, is there some place where we can go that's got the complete schedule so everybody can kind of pick and choose and so they know what's on track when?
You can go to our website and, you know, how the derbies are falling out. What we're going to do on Saturday, we're running the Turn Back the Clock and the 80 and newer DerbyTorch.com class and the Derby Tees class is the heats all on Saturday. And they'll start at 4 o'clock. You know, all the heats, we'll run all them Saturday. Stop it. And Sunday, what will happen, at 11 o'clock, we'll run the two consolations. Then we'll go right into the other classes, like the street stock class, the, you know, truck classes, sure, the mini car classes.
Yeah.
Then we go right into the features.
Nice.
Saturday night's going to be a long night.
It'll be a lot of wrecking.
It'll probably be a 12 o'clocker before everything's done. I think last year was like 11:30, 12 before we got all the heats done. But, you know, we're probably going to be running 8 heats, 4 of each class. You know, we might, you know, try to break it up and go 5 of each class. I'm not for sure how we're going to do it. You know, I'm wanting to go somewhere around 20 to 25 cars a heat.
That's a feature.
Perfect.
Yeah. That's a good feature right there.
Yeah, that's
the running heats.
Yeah, I know.
No, that's perfect. 20-25 yep. cars on that track. That's perfect.
And yeah. And they're going to be out for blood. It is going to be ready to go. I mean, there's a lot waiting on the other side of that. To qualify for that feature on Saturday is going to change the game completely.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
right.
So
yeah, I had usually I post the driver's list, and this year I had some drivers, some top-notch drivers call me and say, don't put my name on the list because I think nobody thinks they're going to be there or something. A lot better for them or somewhat. So I kind of respected the drivers and didn't put the driver's list. I got a little bit of heat on that, but I'm telling you what, nobody's going to be disappointed when they get there Saturday, Sunday, that's for sure.
No, it's not one of the most popular and one of the best shows for nothing. That's the thing. I mean, you guys have built it up, and it's the premier event, I think, of the summer. You know, one of them.
I mean, that's you know, you're starting out with a you know, Daytona 500 for derbies, you know, this weekend, and then we'll end it with a Super Bowl in Topeka in November.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
this is the start of derby season, and then we turn around and we end up down in Topeka for that indoor show, and that's going to be, I mean, that's
amazing.
Yep, that's the perfect way to end it right there. And I'm so excited to get there. You know, just I cannot wait to get to Ohio.
I'm really looking forward to the show this week. And that's, you know, and our buddy Daniel there was out at the UD show, and I was bugging him, you know, because I knew his brother-in-law Dylan finished third. Hey, got pictures, da 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 da. And he's like, oh, you know, sorry, man, I didn't have my phone. I'm like, I know, I got the itch. I said, it's getting close to bash, and, you know, I'm just getting anxious to see stuff get wrecked, and I can't wait to get there and guys just junk stuff.
How many people are actually going to be there? Last year, I'm sure you had some sort of head count. I mean, just an estimate without throwing the actual number out there if you don't want to, but just an idea. How many people actually come into that town for this weekend?
I would say roughly 5 to 5,500, maybe 6,000.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, just for the derby. You know, it's going to be pretty big. I mean, you know, right now my phone rings off the hook, it seems like, you know, and about camping. And camping's booked. I mean, it's everything booked. All the hotels are booked. I mean, I had a guy call me today and said he had to get a hotel an hour away from the track. To be able to stay.
Wow.
That's not good. Well, I mean, it's good, but I wouldn't want to have to drive home and back and forth an hour. That's cool.
Right. So, it's like, I'd almost stay at the campgrounds, you know, but I mean, who knows. But
I think I'd roll my windows down about halfway in the truck and kick the feet back as opposed to driving it
out. Ride it out. Ride it out. Find a friend that's got a hotel room to let you borrow some running water.
Absolutely. So, Tim, how's the stress level right about now? I mean, are you getting stressed yet, or?
You sound pretty relaxed.
No, I'm really, you know, like I said, we've been doing this for a while, and, you know, I used to get stressed, but now it's pretty much, I know it's going to work, it's going to be good. I mean, I ain't going to have too much headaches the day of the Derby. Maybe on some of the drivers and make them cut some things, but, you know.
Drivers always are always headaches. That's just, you know, that's a given.
Well, that's just, you know, that's how
it's the name of
the
game.
All the drivers, when they call me, they always say, I'll tell them, say, did you read the rules? Well, I can't read it.
Tim, it's like, no, I read them this way. I think it should be this way. Well, no, I read them that way.
Yeah, it's like, whatever. No, it's not that way. Yeah. But, you know.
Just make sure you bring torches with you. That's all you got to tell.
One guy always says, oh, I don't have a torch. I said, well, I'll have mine here, so.
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, I mean, last year you had to load up several dozen cars last year, right, that didn't run? There was some 40 cars?
Like 40-some cars last year was way overbuilt. And, you know, I hate to do that. It ain't that I'm going to say I'm going to load 50 cars or whatever. I'm like, just build to the rules.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Well,
I mean, I think that's what makes this show grow. I mean, if you're pretty sticky with the rules, I think people will come back.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So if you start letting this go and this go and this go, I mean, then that chases people away.
And that's the thing. I think,
but maybe not.
I would think, I mean, you know, coming into a big show, I mean, you know guys are going to push the rules and you expect that. But, I mean, you know, for somebody to just go that far above and beyond, you know, to plate something or load something or, you know, whatever, I mean, that's not even something you can fix. Nice. I mean, to think that you're going to sneak something by the caliber inspectors, you know, it's crazy.
You ain't going to sneak nothing by them guys.
That's what I mean. I mean, even attempt it is just crazy.
The guys that got in their crew, I mean, if they haven't thought of it, then it's not invented yet, pretty much. You know, I'm going to throw out there, I'll go out on a limb. I mean, loading that many cars last year, I'll be very shocked if you got to load, you know, 9 or 10 cars this year.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys definitely set the standard last year. I mean, guys know you're not monkeying around. You're not going to put up with their shit. They're either, you know, they're going to load it or build the rules or build the within reason where it can be fixed. It's just
exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, all like you know, you guys run derbies. You know, or have ran a derby. Everybody's like, oh, I'll build it this way. You know, and we got stipulations this year. It's like, you weld on the frame that's not supposed to be there. If you hide something inside the car, you just don't even get an option to fix it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yep.
And
that cuts out all the bullshit right there. I mean, it's plain and simple.
You know, and if the weld's, you know, a little wide or whatever, yeah, we're going to give you a couple times to get it fixed. But there's going to be a limit, because we got so many cars this year, there's going to be a limit where you're just overbuilt.
Yep.
And you've got the opportunity now to inspect the cars inside. Is that correct?
Yeah, they always have.
Friday night, we got a building that we inspect cars in. Then on Saturday, we do it in the pit area, and I got a little tent that we set up on Saturday. It's all in the pit area.
And that floor is rough.
Friday night, I bet Horseshoe Courthouse will probably have 100 cars there.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
We're looking forward to it. I mean, we're coming out Friday, and we're gonna be live there Friday night, and then we'll probably do 3 shows during the course of the day Saturday. Given how the schedule's working out, we'll probably do one fairly early, and then we'll do one we'll probably go on probably around 2:00 for us. That'll give us the opportunity to get everything picked up and out of the way, so that when the dust does start to fly, that everything's protected and undercover, and then we'll come back and we'll do the post race show Saturday night, and then we'll probably do the same thing on Sunday. Get in there get on before everything gets going at 11:00, and then wrap up. And at that point, we're gonna pack everything up and come back to New York. But yeah, it's gonna be a busy weekend. I'm looking forward to it. Still got a few little parts and pieces to tinker with here to get our stuff ready on our end. But for the most part, we're ready to go. The only thing left to do is drive.
We can do that.
Take Tompkins back.
Yeah, I think I'm ready to go. I mean, I think most of the Derby drivers are ready to go. I mean, and the fans, if they want to see an awesome show, come to Washington Courthouse this weekend.
Absolutely.
For sure.
I honestly bet you if we sat here, we could probably come up with a list of probably close to 50 people from our area that we know that are coming.
Easily.
I was going to say about 100.
And I mean, we're a good 7-8 hour drive. I mean, it's definitely grown into a huge event.
I thought you were going to say we could come up with a list of 50 people that we've never met that have told us they're looking forward to seeing us there. That's what it's all about. You know, Rick Clark alluded to it when he was on. He said, you know, that Derby people are inherently usually good people, and it's like a big family, you know, and everybody, this is the reunion. This is a Memorial Day reunion for everybody, and everybody just, they got to be there.
Family reunion.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, that, and I mean, you're going to a show to where, you know, I can't say it enough. I mean, you're treated, everybody's treated great, and Tim and Russ are, I mean, they're definitely there
doing it the right way.
They're there for the drivers. They're putting a show on for the drivers, for the fans, and it's gonna be one you don't want to miss.
Nope, that's for sure.
Well, Tim, I appreciate you taking some time out of today. I know that you are plenty busy and you've got plenty going on this week. So I wish you the best. Hope everything stays smooth and stress free. And we'll look you up when we get into town on Friday.
All right, and everybody's coming to the show. Just drive safe, and I guess we'll see you Friday and Saturday.
We'll see you soon.
See you, Tim.
See you, Tim.
Bye.
Thanks, Tim. Bye.
I can't wait. Think about the amount of just in shells that are just going to be destroyed.
Oh, it's a big deal.
I mean, just shells. I mean, guys are paying crazy. It's going to be awesome to go out there and see all that stuff wrecked and the new motors, and I can't wait. Yep. Cannot wait.
But so that's going to do it for us. We are done. We made it through it. All the interviews, everything that we tried to squeeze in, we got it, and that's going to do it. We will see you this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and we'll definitely be catching up with you. Well, maybe not. Depends on how Memorial Day goes. We're going I don't know if we want to – it's a day off for everybody. I don't know if after we've been on six times through the course of the weekend if we're going to make everybody have to come back. But we'll figure it out. We'll keep you posted. Keep an eye on the Facebook page. That's going to do it for this edition of the Crash Course. We appreciate everybody tuning in, and we're going to see you next time.